Konnichiwa.
You get anything from a vending machine. Hot coffee from a vending machine.
Well, that makes sense, yeah. But hang on, mate. Hang on. Hot coffee makes sense, like, as in, I get that, but ordering a woman or a whole fish from a vending machine, I ain't getting it.
Let's go see what burns his up.
When I first arrived, we went out for dinner, with, like, a team dinner, and out come what looked like tuna sashimi, so I've got the chopsticks out, bang, bit of soy, whacked it in, and I'm like... Fucking hell, boy. So that tuna sashimi's a bit chewy, and they're like, that's horse.
Let's go for it. It's Freddie fucking Burns.
Freddie son, Burnsy's in Japan. Time for me to go and see what life's like in Japan. Freddie son, Burnsy's in Japan. So come on, let's go see what Burnsy's up to in Japan.
On this episode, we'll be looking back, not too far back, just a week, and we're going to be looking what's relevant in the world of news. It might not be relevant in your world, but it's certainly been relevant in my world. We'll also be doing a quick review with Freddie Burns on the Six Nations, more specifically on England. Have they improved under Steve Borthwick? Are they playing a decent brand of rugby? We'll get Freddie's take on that. We'll be looking at some other social media posts and what's been trending. We'll also be getting Freddie's take on who in this England team, past or present, is a fucking legend. So we'll be putting him on the spot for that. We'll also be doing a few shout-outs. So peel back, enjoy, make sure you subscribe to The Big Jim Show on YouTube. It's on Rugby Pass TV, where there's other amazing content on there as well. But mainly on all the audio platforms, Spotify, Apple, Amazon. I don't know if there's any more. I'm sure there's a load more. Enjoy.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
This is the Big Jim Show.
Right, I'm welcoming one of my good friends, Freddie Burns, back to the show. Freddie San, Burns is in Japan. A quick few lines, Freddie. How are you getting on over there?
Hello, gozaimasu, Jim. Genki desu ka?
What does that mean?
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Well, it's the evening here, as I just told you before. It's Saturday evening.
Konbanwa, then, Jim.
Konbanwa. Well, Freddie, mate, I'm going to explain the new format of the show to everyone at home. So firstly, this is for me and you. There's going to be a swear tin and a buzzwords tin. So your buzzword is mate. Every time you say mate, £5 goes into the pot. Every time I swear, £5 goes into the pot. And what is the pot, the millions of you are asking? It is for the Scottish Veterans Residence Charity, which provides supported housing for former members of the UK Armed Forces who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. The services are located in Edinburgh, Dundee and Glasgow. The website is www.svronline.org. So any mating and any swearing, Freddie, is going to go to a great cause.
There's no mating happening out here, so don't worry about it.
You've just said mate, and I've just said fucking here we go. So let's go. There's £10. Ka-ching. Right.
Hang on. What if I swear? Is it both of us?
Yeah. Your buzzwords, mate. If we both swear, £5 for every swear word goes into the pot. Right, Freddie, we'll start with news. It is old news and what's been trending, but basically the artwork that producer Jimmy's put up for this show is basically what was trending. It felt like 3 weeks ago, but we've used the artwork of Princess Catherine, Kate. I always called her Kate. Princess Catherine with her arms linked around her children, with your head superimposed, my head superimposed, and John Cena, because he came up on stage of the Oscars, stark bollock naked. So we thought we'd use that. Fred, what are your thoughts on editing, digitally enhancing pictures?
Jim, first of all, I'm obviously a little bit removed from the news out here. I don't get it, mate.
Oh, yeah.
£5. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Who cares? Like, video, everyone's out there editing photos left, right, and rhubarb. And then the minute she does it and gets it a little bit wrong, there's this whole uproar. So there was a photo. So she's not in... Is she actually in the photo?
She's in the photo, but she... I don't know what... Firstly, I don't know why you've not seen it in Japan. Have they... Is it not allowed there or something? Because they've got some weird geo blocks on.
No, I've seen it, but, you know, I'm not watching Good Morning Britain and all those sorts of shows. Do you know what I mean? I just... Just little bits on Twitter and that. And I just can't really be bothered to get into it. I just don't get it. People that are putting dog faces on and like everyone's having so many filters and that. And suddenly there's this uproar because she's done it. I don't really get it. So I don't really care, Jim.
Well, you wouldn't get it because you love a filter, don't you? Be honest. Are you sitting there? Are you one of those that's like zooming into the picture, like touching up your arms, making your face not look as red as it is now and just kind of taking the grading down?
No. I put a little. I don't shape it up or anything like that. I haven't got that kind of skill, Jim. But I only post pictures. Like I get annoyed with boys. So after a game, for instance, where I pull the most horrendous faces, you get sent all the photos. I'll obviously only post the photos that I feel I look all right in. And I get annoyed with the boys when they post the pictures with me in the background, gurning, looking like Colonel Gaddafi. So I get a little bit, I only post the good stuff, mate, or what I deem as good.
Yeah, well, you've done another one, but that's fine, Freddie. You're alone, mate. The money's going to a good charity, so don't worry. But I find myself now at the age of 41, I am not doctoring pictures, but love a good filter. And I'm also devastated if I'm caught in a photo and you can see the biscuit, right? Like that's the one for me where if the biscuit's on show... I'm absolutely fucking devoed. Like, that's the one where I'm not happy.
I don't know what happens to me when I play, but generally I get so many chins. Like, I just can't... There's no pictures of me ever playing looking like Henry Slade or, do you know what I mean? Someone, like, pretty good looking. It's just me. It's hanging, mate. And I don't think I'm that bad looking bloke, Jim. I don't think I'm in the higher echelons, but I wouldn't say I'm hanging per se. Digging myself into a bit of a hole here, but I wouldn't say I'm
hanging. You're not hanging. I'll give you a 6. That's in the upper echelon of a 10.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I would have quite happily sat around a 5. So I'll take a 6. But do you know what I mean? These photos come up and I just think, oh, is that what I look like? Jesus. So I'm not, especially as a single man as well, Jim. I can't be putting stuff out there that's detrimental
catfish.
To any future. Yeah, but it's not so much catfishing. I'm just not going to put myself down at the risk of someone turning their nose up at me because I've got 8 chins instead of 1.
Yeah, well, it has blown up on it. It's been doing the rounds. So big thanks to producer Jimmy for producing the artwork. And we also added John Cena in, but I was worried. How weird is it that I'm actually second-guessing myself whether or not we should put John Cena in because there's been shit going down about like something to do with Bohemian, like not Rhapsody the song, some other Bohemian Grove... that I know nothing about. Apparently, it's absolute chaos. And because that's been happening and there's some weird stuff happening there in Hollywood, then John Cena walks up on stage with a small envelope in front of his ball bag. I did think he'd be bigger, I'll be honest. Like, from what I saw from the little cup, it looked like a half an egg cup was the size of the cover in there. So that made me feel happy. But the fact that his body fat was 6% and he looks like he's never skipped leg day, I didn't want the missus to see it, but she did. And she looked over twice.
Yeah, you kind of, he was in mental nick, but you kind of just want something, you just want to see something just hanging out the bottom, don't you? Just to give you do you know what I mean? You just want to see, that he's packing as well.
No, I didn't.
He's juiced up to the max.
Yeah,
mate.
He is juiced up to the max. I don't want to see anything packing. I want the opposite, mate. I wanted to be like, look, mate, you are hung like a Chinaman, mate. And that makes me happy. He can speak Chinese though, can't he? So maybe he is Chinese.
Can he?
He can speak fluent. Right. Fluent. I don't know if Cantonese or Mandarin. I don't know which one it is. But yeah, like John Cena is fluent in that because he did an apology or did something when they were doing a premiere or something. So yeah, but anyway, that was the artwork that we used and that's the reason why.
That'll be me soon, Jim, with the Japanese. I'm taking lessons at the minute. So I'm actually learning to read and write and speak Japanese, which is brutal, but that's my plan, to be like John Cena. Ripped, hung like a pit. And fluent in a Eastern Asian language.
Right, Freddie, before we get into a bit of ruggers, just give us a quick snapshot of where you are in Japan, how you're getting on, and are you loving life? Are you happy?
Mate, I'm really enjoying it out here. It's a lot different to last time I was out here because obviously no COVID, So everything's a bit open, and I had the parents over a couple of weeks ago, so I managed to show them around. Where do we go? Hiroshima, Kyoto, Osaka, Tokyo. I gave them the grand tour of Japan, and they loved it. So now it's good. Rugby's going well. Obviously got a game today against top of the league. So we're actually, it's a bit annoying because the one game we've technically lost this year, we lost because on about 45 minutes, there was a thunder and lightning storm. So we would have to run inside in the game and the referee cancelled the game. So we've had a good year. It's getting to the sharp end now. Six games left or seven games left. To try and get promoted to the top league.
That a boy, Freddie Burns. Well, talking of top league, let's have a quick review of the Six Nations, and we'll go all in on England. I can maybe give a few anecdotes from some of the other games, but we'll do that on the Rugby Pod with Goody this week. What do you make of England going into the Six Nations? Have they won the hearts and minds of the general public? Do you think it was harsh, everything that they were getting, or do you think it was warranted? And we've just watched that game against France, they were winning up to the last kick of the game, effectively. I know there was a couple of plays off the kickoff to get through, but I think England looked very good. Completely underestimated by a lot of people in the lead-up to the Six Nations. You're removed from all the social media kind of hype and the TV stuff, although you will see it, I'm sure. What's your kind of general overview of where this England team are at now?
I think they've been in a really happy place. I think it's been. I'm not sure if you can say it's been a successful Six Nations, because I think success is obviously for a team like England is winning it, and they've lost the games that they have. But it's hard for me, because I have a soft spot for that England group now, especially with the coaching setup that's in there with Wiggy and obviously Steve and that in there as well, and Kev. But I think they've gone well, mate. And they've there you go, there's another one.
You've done a few. I've just done one as well. You've done a few, it's fine.
Yeah, there you go. It's not as many as last time, that's all that counts. But they've gone well. Obviously, that Ireland performance last week was outstanding. And people seem to forget that England are World Cup semi-finalists, bronze medal winners. You know, no one put them down for doing that. They've beaten Ireland, they've ran France close, and they've done all right, iffy jobs against Italy and Wales, but got the job done. The only one was that Scotland game, they'll be really disappointed with their performance. So I think they're building nicely. You know, you've seen a few changes, a few new faces come in. You can start seeing the direction they want to go. I know today they were unlucky in that France game, and they were under pressure for that first 40 minutes. So to withstand that pressure and then do what they did early parts of the second half, they'll be disappointed not to see it out. Of course they will. But I think there's definitely signs of growth and development and moving forward.
Can you see how they want to play? You mentioned Richard Wigglesworth fronting up the attack, been under massive kind of scrutiny again from the media about how they played. I know that Wiggy wasn't necessarily involved in that during the World Cup, but with that boring, mundane kicking style, which I actually quite like, and the physicality that got them to a semi-final to almost beat South Africa. But with that, Fred, like, how difficult is it to evolve your game? Do you think that suits the way that England should play going forward if they want to win the Six Nations, they want to win a Grand Slam, they want to really elevate their game?
Yeah, they need to. They want to elevate their game. I mean, they want to do what they did last week against Ireland and in parts today against France. But I think sometimes before you can win rugby games, you have to become hard to beat. And I think that's what you saw in the last, you know, since Steve's taken over, is England have become, bar when they play Scotland, they've become pretty good at, like, pretty hard to beat. You know, they're physical, they play that kicking game. And then what you've seen in the last few weeks in particular is them starting to develop that attacking game and starting to go after teams a little bit more now. So it's always, you know, we live in a day and age now where everything needs to be instant. Everyone thinks it should be, you know, changed straight away. And I think England have built nicely. You see the job Steve did at Leicester. You know, it took him a year or two there to get that team to where they were. So, England are just moving forward. They're a hard team to beat now. I don't think teams particularly like playing against them. And after the last couple of weeks, there's now signs of that attack starting to get firing. And I think there'll be a force to be reckoned with in the summer against Japan and the All Blacks.
Do you think any of the players are going to be missed? So talk of Manu Tuilagi retiring from England, going over to France, or maybe heading over to Fiji to play, which I think would be class if he wanted to do that. Danny Kerr as well. We know about Owen Farrell. So out of them kind of players, Freddie, do you think England will miss any of them in particular? Or are you loving the Ollie Lawrence coming through, like Finn Smith, on the kind of fringes of that? Marcus Smith, I know he came on at fullback and stuff like that. But they are three like massive players, like Manu Tuilagi, Danny Kerr and Owen Farrell. They're three arguably first names on the team sheet a couple of years ago.
Yeah, there's no doubt that you miss those kind of players. Like, you know, they've been great servants to the game. They're experienced. They've won big club competitions. They've won big international games. So there's no doubt that you'll miss them. But there is an excitement around that new batch coming through. And sometimes, you know, there has to be a change of the guard at some stage. So it's a bit of both. You're going to miss them, but those boys coming in, they need to be given time, though. That's the thing, is you can't expect them to come in and have the same impact. I think Ollie Lawrence has grown as this competition's gone on. You know, he's brilliant against Ireland last week, brilliant again today. And there's still a few sort of senior heads in there with, you know, like George Ford, I think, has been outstanding the last few games as well. So there has to be a change of the guard. Those players will be missed, of course they will, but at the same time, those young boys coming through, you know, they need to be given this time to push forward in time for the next World Cup and time to develop in that international arena.
I want to throw a couple of anecdotes out there about Steve Borthwick and then get your views on whether or not he is the right man to take England forward. So I didn't see it after Marcus Smith's drop goal to beat Ireland. I don't know if you've seen it over there. I don't know what footage you've seen, but before the game today, they showed the drop kick and they showed the carnage and the hysteria in the crowd, on the pitch, and then in the coaches' box. All the coaches are going mad. Tom Harrison, Wiggy, obviously Allen's up there or down there at the pitch side as well. All the coaches are going ballistic. Steve Borthwick, face, didn't flinch. He's just sat there, like, as in, not flinching whatsoever. And I'm just like, the guy's a phenomenon. Like, he's a freak of nature. He's a very different human to me and yourself, Freddie Burns. But that doesn't surprise me that he wasn't like that. But it surprised me a little bit because I was like, mate, you've just beaten the fucking a team that's on for the Grand Slam. And it's, you know, it's everything. You're at Twickenham, the way that you've played, and he didn't show any emotion. And I was chatting to a couple of mates as well about it. And they were like, well, do you remember when Saracens won the Premiership and won Europe? I was like, no, I wasn't there. I came in to replace Steve. And they were like, well, when they won the Premiership and, like, obviously they're all getting smashed on the bus, Steve sat there with a can of Coke, just smiling from ear to ear at the front of the bus, and there's fucking piss, literally, and alcohol being thrown all over him. Like, just this kind of monotone look. But he is a bit of a freak, isn't he? A freak of nature in terms of how he goes about his business. But he's been under mass pressure, and I think it's just really class to see him come through that now. Yeah, they didn't win the Six Nations, but the performances that they put in place, the way they played against Ireland and winning, and the way they played against France, do you think he is definitely the right man to take England forward?
Yeah, I definitely think he's the right man to take England forward. With Steve, like, Steve is Steve.
Steve is Steve.
A lot of people would say is odd. Like, but one thing I say about Steve is he cares deeply about England, but B, about his players as well. And one thing I always remember at Leicester is, you know, it'd be before a session and boys might be playing a bit of cricket or a bit of football, and, you know, Wiggy would be running around the energy and Alec would be there sort of taking the mick, firing pelters back and forth. And Steve would just be stood there like he normally is. But you just see like a little wry smile out of him. And you know that he loves seeing people enjoy their job. He loves seeing people celebrate and all that. It's just not in his nature to be one of those sort of straight arming pints after a drop goal to win it. So I always found, you know, you had like a teacher at school. You sort of, if they said a nice word to you, it really meant a lot. That's what Steve is. You don't get gushing compliments from him like all the time, but when he does give you that sort of pat on the back or a nice little compliment or a well done, it means a lot. But I love him because I know Steve from working under him and all that. It makes me laugh. I just see it because people just don't get it. People just don't understand him as a bloke. I don't really understand him, but I know what he's like now. So I sort of look and laugh. But he would enjoy it as much as anyone. But he's more happy seeing the boys enjoy themselves, and he'll keep a level head and enjoy his Diet Coke and probably go home with his family and celebrate with them.
Steve is Steve. That's it.
Steve is Steve, mate.
Steve!
Freddie, we're going to look at legends of the game. And we've got a new segment, actually, that was given to me and influenced back to me by my best friend, Brett Deacon. You know Brett Deacon, obviously. You know Big Deeks. We played at Gloucester with Deeks, but I grew up with Deeks. And we were reminiscing about the good old days where we were walking around the Leicester Tigers Stadium, just not even doing a lap of honour. And someone on the front row just shouted over, "Big Jim, you fucking legend!" And Deeks every time now. So if Deeks is pissed or whatever, like I've not heard of him for a while, it will leave me a voice note. So we've come up with this kind of creative plan of actually seeing, right, who are the fucking legends? Because Big Jim, in my household, I'm a legend, right? But in the wider echelons of the universe of rugby, I'm not. So I thought, right, every guest that comes on, I'm going to challenge them to tell me who they think fucking legends are. So are you ready for this, Freddie?
Hang on, just quickly. Are we when you use the word legend, are we saying from a playing perspective of what they've done on the field, or as in like fielding a couple of lads for me when I've been started on legend?
This is legends on the pitch. So I reckon the guy who shouted at me was thinking legend off the pitch, right? He weren't thinking legend on the pitch.
Yeah,
it's triggered me to think, right, let's put the guests on the spot. And if you pause, we take that as no legend.
God, I don't think I'm qualified to do this, but yeah,
go with your heart, Freddie. Okay, so you ready to play?
You fucking legend!
Here goes. Johnny Wilkinson.
Legend.
Lawrence Dallaglio.
Legend.
You paused. How dare you?
No, I said legend.
Okay, that's fine. Phil Vickery.
Nah.
That's fine.
Well, it's hard.
No, keep going.
Is it just quick fire?
Like, it's quick fire. Martin Johnson. Martin Johnson.
Legend.
Ben Youngs.
Legend.
Owen Farrell.
Legend.
And you paused.
I just have to take a second because I just don't want to. They can't all be legends, can they?
Owen Farrell.
Legend.
Rory Underwood.
Legend.
Why are you laughing? Brian Moore.
Not a legend.
Mike Tindall.
Legend.
You paused. Neil Back.
Nah, he's a legend. Legend.
Johnny May.
It's going to be... but it's not because he's not a legend. It's not a legend. Legend in the finest sense of the world, not a legend.
Whoa. Jeff Parlin.
Not a legend. But he's a legend of the bloke. I love Jeff, but as on the field. Not.
Joe Marler.
Nah.
Say it.
Not a legend, sorry, not a legend.
Chris Ashton.
Legend.
Oh, Manu Tuilagi.
Legend.
George Ford.
Not a legend.
Dan Cole.
I'm losing so many friends. Legend. Everyone's going to hate me now.
Danny Kerr.
Legend.
James Haskell.
Not a legend.
Andy Good.
Legend. For the Newcastle thing.
Sam Burgess.
Not a legend.
Jason Leonard.
Legend.
Mauro Itoje.
Legend.
Ben Earl.
Not a legend.
And that's it, mate.
Can I just quickly explain something? So my criteria, if you win a World Cup, you're a legend.
Hang on, Fred. Mate, I said Lawrence Dallaglio, you said not a legend.
No, I said legend. I said not a legend to Phil Vickery.
Oh, did you?
But I take that back.
You won a World Cup. That's it, mate.
I thought there was only going to be like five names. But most of the legends are shit on the piss.
Yeah, very true. So it's how you
paint it. I was going purely on the pitch, World Cup or 100 caps, you're a legend. I think someone like Marrow's changed the game a little bit and what he's done for the game. So there you go. That's my rationale. Oh, I'm going to just, okay. I'm just, thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. I'm now the most hated man in rugby.
Millions will all be listening, Fred. Don't worry.
Jesus. Right.
Okay, Freddie. We're going to talk about life in Japan. You've referenced it at the start. I want to go deeper into it. And this part of the Big Jim show is This Is Your Life. You remember This Is Your Life with the jingle?
Yeah, what a show. I don't know what the jingle is, but it's a great show with the red book.
Something like that. That's the one with the red book. That's it. Yeah, the one with the red book. Right, Freddie, what's the weirdest thing that's going down in Japan? I'm going to carry on the question. I'm going to feed you the answer, no pun intended. I'm watching Ardie Surveyor all over social media, and I'm sure I've seen this. I might have been pissed, but I am seeing vending machines with fish in, where you can actually fucking order a fish from a vending machine like you do a can of Coke. Like, what is going down in Japan? Is that normal? Am I abnormal? Are you eating fish out of vending machines, or is it just Ardie Surveyor?
No, vending machines here are massive. Like, they're everywhere. So you can get everything. And there's a vending machine in Tokyo where you can get a date. Like, not as in like an eating date. Like, you can date someone. So you put your money in a vending machine, press a button, and a number comes up. A number comes out, and you can text them and see if they want to go on a date.
Like a Japanese version of a brothel?
Yeah, but well, no, like they might say no, but you just sort of text them. It's basically a vending machine of like numbers. It's so weird. It's so weird. But you can get anything. You can get anything from a vending machine.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hot coffee from a vending machine.
Well, that makes sense, yeah. But hang on, mate. Hot coffee makes sense, like, as in, I get that, but ordering a woman or a whole fish from a vending machine, I ain't getting
that. No, it's there's some bonkers stuff like that. I've not seen ones where you can get fish, but I know there's restaurants you go to where you literally press the vending machine number, your ticket, and then they come out and give you what you ordered from the vending machine. So it's all... It's so backwards over here, mate, in the best way. The food's unbelievable, but there's just some stuff that goes down. You know, chicken sashimi, I've given a wide berth. I've not tried that. Raw chicken.
Well, that's smart then, the fact that you've given that a miss.
Yeah, but they love it. They literally, the boys smash it in. Raw chicken. And I'm like, restaurants get shut down in the UK if the chicken comes out slightly pink. Do you know what I mean? Like, it ain't white. And then the worst was the other day, when I first arrived, went out for dinner, with like a team dinner, and out come what looked like tuna sashimi. So I've got the chopsticks out, bang, bit of soy, whacked it in. And I'm like, fucking hell, boy. So that tuna sashimi is a bit chewy, and they're like, that's horse. And I just can't, like, get through my head that it's horse sashimi. So I ate it, like, I chewed it down, but it was like... That stuff's just weird. And then they do these, don't know what they're called, but they're like fermented beans that they have in like a little tin. And they like open them up and they stink. And then the boys like eat them, but there's all this gooey stuff coming off them. And they use their chopsticks to like wrap around it. It's fucked, man, it's fucked. Some of the stuff they eat is nuts. But I try and be open-minded, Jim. But I have to draw the line at chicken sashimi and these fermented beans, they're fucking minging.
What else? Is there anything else that's really weird that they do? They sit on the floor a lot, don't they, Japanese people? Like, your knees must be in bits and your back, no?
Yeah, they sit, when you go to a restaurant, sometimes you go to a restaurant and they sit you down and there's just a table on the floor. And yeah, back spasm galore. That's weird. What else?
What about the toilets and the shitters? You stand up or they clean your ass there, don't they? Like the machines and stuff like that's in the toilet.
The toilets here are a delight, whether it's public toilets or not. They're spotless. They're warm, like the heated toilet seat. Jim, I've just remembered. So in my house, downstairs, so you've got the bottom of the stairs, and then opposite the bottom of the stairs is the toilet. So the door obviously opens to the bottom of the stairs, and the toilet faces the door. So because I live alone, I needed to drop the kids off. So I've gone to the toilet and I've closed the door, but I've not closed it fully. Like I've not closed it shut. No one's in the house. Don't really need to. I've sat on this heated toilet seat, got on my phone. I'm there just chilling like most blokes do. And I reckon I've been there like 20, 25 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I started getting a bit of pins and needles in my legs. So I thought I'd better get up it. Now, bit of too much information, Jim. I'm a stand up wiper. And as I've stood up, my legs are that pins and needles and jelly. I've just fallen forward through the door onto the stairs, mate. And literally, I am trousers around the ankles, ass up on my stairs, like a shitty ass. And I'm just like, oh. And I didn't have my phone. I was like, if someone could see this, mate, it was fucking, honestly. So I've had to pick, one of the most embarrassing moments in front of myself is having to pick myself up from these stairs after falling through the door, taking too long on the shitter. But
Willie on the floor.
I was just lucky I didn't like knock my teeth out on the stairs, mate, to be honest. I was like, you know, when you just have those, and I end up talking, you talk to yourself, don't you? You go, fucking hell, pull yourself together, Frank.
Disgrace. So I got embarrassed.
Yeah, absolute disgrace. But yeah, the toilets here are unreal.
I love a toilet. I am a toilet snob, as in my worst thing ever is going into a service station and thinking, right, I need to go. Like, I don't even wash my hands. Someone said to me once when I went for a piss, obviously got the old boy out, went, and then, oh, someone just made a comment, you're not going to wash your hands. I was like, well, mate, that's probably cleaner than the taps in here. It's like absolute disgrace when I go in. One other thing happened to me and Goody when we were in New Zealand in 2017 for the Lions tour down there. We had a stopover. It might have been Hong Kong. And in the airport there, I might have told you this before, but I've walked into the toilet in the airport and there's a Chinese dude. He could have been Korean, but I think he was Chinese. I think he was one of mine. He had his foot up on the sink with a baby wipe, wiping his ass with a baby wipe and the shit on the baby wipe. I was like, ugh! Absolute hanging. Bits of kit in the toilets, mate.
Do you know what I love here is, so in the public toilets, there's like all the buttons, and there's a button that plays either music or like the sound of water. So it stops people hearing the plop, plop. So if you're embarrassed about going in the toilet and hearing the plop, plop.
Yes, I am. I get that as well. Or the as well.
Yeah. But you press a button and it starts playing either like swishing water or like music and stuff. So it drowns out the plopping, so you can shit.
You're saying they're weird. The only weird thing I'm hearing is that you can buy women from vending machines, or you get offered phone numbers, and you can buy whole fish from vending machines, and you're eating raw chicken. But these are genius ideas, because like these are things that actually I'm conscious of. If you go into a toilet, I don't know why, because no one knows it's you, do they? Like it could be one of four in the cubicle, and you're like, genius.
There's a lot of good stuff. From a rugby sense, mate, the weirdest thing here is they don't allow you on the pitch to do an individual warm-up. So the other, last week we played Kewden down there, which is in Fukuoka. And we got all the way down there. And basically I've walked out to do my kicking warm-up like I normally do. And they're like, no, we're allowed on the pitch for 17 minutes before the game. So we had 17 minutes to do all your individual warm-up, all your team warm-up. Get in the shed, get your kit on, and get back out and play. It's nuts. And they proper, like, the minute if you step on the field, you got a little Japanese boat running at you telling you to get off. It's insane.
Mental.
Things just don't make sense, but
I'm coming to Japan soon. I'm coming to Japan on around the 16th of April. and I'm coming there to interview Peter Steph Detoy, Aaron Smith, Richie Mwanga, Damian De Allende, wait for it, Eddie Jones.
Mate, I saw Eddie yesterday.
I was going to ask, mate, how is Eddie Jones? Did you chat to him or not?
We're just doing our team run, and I've done my little bit, so I was just stood at the back watching the boys go in and do theirs, and suddenly this small figure with a cap come started walking towards me, and I was thinking, who's that? And they're like, Freddie, mate. And it was booming, Eddie Jones. Oh, all right, Eddie. Had a little chat. He was just doing his rounds of the clubs, I think, but he seemed pretty happy. All the Japanese boys absolutely shat themselves when they saw him. It was like Darth Vader.
Really?
Walked in, yeah. But yeah, so all the Japanese boys started losing their shit when they saw him.
How's he been received there?
All right, I think because of that win over South Africa in the World Cup 2015 or whatever, I think he's got
like legendary status. Like,
yeah, he's a god over here, mate. So they love him. I'm not too sure. Because it was obviously a few years ago now, but I'm not too sure really from the Japanese boys. Obviously, you can't really pick up too much from general conversation, but I think he'll go well here. I think the Japanese will respond to him because over here is very much a say and do attitude. You know, boys will do what they're told. They're not likely to sort of fight back or be as opinionated as probably maybe Australian players or English players are. So I think he'll go all right, yeah? And people seem pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to get an over.
Oh, yeah, are we catching up? Are we catching up when you come over?
Of course we are. It's Freddie's. Yeah,
I don't want an interview. I want beers, and I'll take you to a nice little Japanese establishment.
Vending machine.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah,
we'll
yeah.
Get you some fish from a vending machine. And a woman. No, I'm joking.
Beck, I'm going to a vending machine. What are you hanging about at a vending machine? Yeah, I'm just with Freddie. Yeah. Oh, my goodness mate. Yeah, so I'm heading over there. Freddie, just give people an idea then of the lay of the land with all the big players going there. So Sam Kane, Aaron Smith, Peter Steph Detoy, Brody Retallick, Damian De Allende, Malcolm Marks. That's just to name a few. Some of the biggest names, Bowden Barrett, I missed him out as well. Some of the biggest names in rugby, Arnie Surveyor, are playing in Japan. Loads. But when I watch it, Fred, where are all the fans? So there's no warm-up, there's no fans. Where are they generating the money? Where's all the fucking money?
See, you say that, the top league teams actually do get pretty good Verblitz played. So Verblitz, which is Peter Steph Detoy, Aaron Smith, Bowden Barrett, they played Suntory yesterday. Suntory have, they're both injured, but they have Sam Kane and Chesnan Colby. They did have Anscombe. Oh, they've got, is it Camille Lopez there now, I think they've got. Anyway, yeah. So that's their superstars. They played at the Toyota football ground and they had 35,000 there watching the game.
All right, okay. Decent.
But also, the main thing in Japan, I think, and I don't know for a fact, but what I'd imagine is every team is associated to a massive company. So, you know, a lot of the Japanese players are company workers. So obviously, I'm at Toyota Industries Corporation Shockey Shuttle. So Toyota is our sort of backer and the company that we're associated to. And that's a multi-billion pound company. So actually the finance that it takes to run a rugby team is not that big a deal to them. It's like a side effect.
You're like the cleaners, effectively.
Pretty much. But we're told that, like, so when we do our player appearances, which is go to the, there's like loads of factories scattered around. We'll go to the factories and hand out leaflets on lunch breaks and stuff when people come out of their thing, out of their work. But we're there to effectively inspire the workers, to give the workers something to support and sort of build excitement around. So it's, like the rugby clubs here aren't seen as like businesses. They're just seen as a branch of these big companies that allows them to flex their muscles, go and get big players in and sort of put a spectacle on for the crowd. So that's probably why financially it's a lot more viable than and sort of sustainable than in England or anywhere else in the world.
Is there talk of money, Fred? How much do they get, some of the players, or not? Are they transparent with that? Like Bolan Barrett must be close to a mil in terms of pound comparison.
Yeah, they don't really talk about it. So just quickly, just to make it clear for anyone who's confused, is so over here there's three categories of player. So you've got a category A, which is someone who's qualified to play for Japan. You've got category B, which is a non-capped foreign player. And then you've got category C, which is an internationally capped foreigner. So you're allowed three category C players in your team. So three internationally capped players. And then you're allowed, but you're only allowed four foreigners. So that could be three cat Cs and one cat B. But what you're getting is, with category B, is you get a lot of youngsters now come over from Australia, New Zealand, stuff like that, and they'll do their 4 or 5 years, and then they'll be promoted to a category A. So then you end up getting these foreign boys in the Japanese system. But because of that, it means that Peter Steph De Toit, Aaron Smith, Bolan Barrett are then playing alongside Japanese company workers or... some of the bigger teams are all professional, but here the majority of our team is company workers. So, like today we played D Rocks, and they've got Samu Karevi at 12. They've got Izzy Falau can play fullback for him. He's not playing today, and Liam Gill. So you've got big international players just mixing it with, normal Japanese players that want to obviously aspire to play for Japan. So it's all a bit complex and complicated how it works over here, but it's not a case of teams going out and buying 10 massive money players. You've got three players that will be on huge cash, and then the rest on not too much, if that makes sense.
Right, Freddie, we're going to have a look at a couple of questions that came in on social media with the hashtag The Big Jim Show. One of them that came through Byron252969, which is absolute banter, said that, have you seen Mike Tyson hitting the pads at 57 years old, fighting Jake Paul, which is going to be awesome? If you were to compare that to a rugby player coming out of retirement, it would be the same as Rory Underwood, who's only a couple of years older than Mike Tyson, returning to the arena of rugby. Can you imagine that? You imagine Rory Underwood. So it's more a statement that he's basically made. I think he's asking us like how we feel about, if other sports are doing it like boxing, yes, it's an exhibition match. And watching Mike Tyson apparently needs a new hip. But he's got a fair point. That's like Rory Underwood taking off his aviators. I think it's Tony that actually fires, but we'll say Rory just because that's what's come in and playing. Firstly, I just want to say I'm sold down a river with these kind of things. I was convinced that Conor McGregor was going to beat Floyd Mayweather. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I have put a bet on Francis Ngannou knocking Anthony Joshua out in the first round. I mean, it was like 35 quid. I would have got about $5,000. So it was a decent bet to put on. But what are you like with these things, these exhibition things, seeing Mike Tyson at the age of 60 going up against Jake Paul, who's in his 20s, Fred?
Well, for me, I love Tyson. Mike Tyson, what a legend. And I would enjoy, it's before the event, I'm a bit sceptical. If Mike Tyson takes Jake Paul's head off, I will absolutely love it and be all ear for it. But if Mike Tyson gets banged out or isn't up to scratch, you go, well, he's 50-odd or whatever he is. And, what do you expect a 50-year-old man fighting a... But Mike Tyson isn't just your average bloke. Us rugby players, old Underwood, do you know what I mean? Like, he goes off, he's just a normal bloke. Tyson's a savage.
Oh, he's a killer. He's a killer. But you've also, mate, a 50... is very different to 58, I think. I reckon a 50-year-old Mike Tyson obliterates a Jake Paul. But that them 8-year difference is, yeah, it's a lot. He's going to be nearly 60 when he gets into the ring. For £20 million or dollars or whatever it is, like, so.
Here's a question, Jim, just to go off. So would you get in a ring with Mike Tyson for 20 mil?
Naked. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? I like it, and I don't know where I sit on it. I'm on the fence.
I just think it's, are you going to watch it?
Yeah, of course I am.
Exactly. You know, I mean, this is the world that we're in. Like, all the haters will be saying, like, I'm sold up a river. I love the glitz and the glamour. Like, I'll be honest. Like, I love all that shit.
No, I love it too. I think rugby's different though, isn't it? Like, you can't, it's hard to compare them both, but the only one you could say, like, Jimmy Gopper's still going in here at 40, he'll be 41, 42. over in the second division of France. So I don't know, mate. It's different, but I'm for it in a boxing sense. In a rugby sense, I'd have no interest in watching Rory Underwood put his steel toe cap boots back on and try and run down the wing.
Nice. Well, I do like a bit of boxing. I'm actually hosting, I'm Bruce Buffer, basically, at a white-collar event for Naz. Naz is fighting Luke Narraway, captain of the Filthy 15.
Who's he fighting?
A lad called Adam Cave, who I played for England 19s and 21s with. A mosey lad. I mean, I presume he's a tough fucker. He's a scaffolder, so...
Is it for charity?
Everything's for charity, Fred.
Everything's for charity. Yeah.
Exactly. Right, last question that's come in is Craig Barry at Revere. Name your top five fly halves currently playing now from 5 to 1. I'll hold up my hands just in case you lose count.
Top, hang on, let me have a think about this. Five. At five, Damian McKenzie.
Oh, that's a 10, interesting. Nice.
He's playing 10 for the Chiefs at the minute. I just love the way he moves. At four, I'm going to go...
I love the way he moves.
I'm actually going to go... Is it Crowley, the Irish 10?
Yeah, Jack Crowley, good player.
He's actually... The way he stepped up under that pressure, filling in Sexton's boots, I think he's there. At three, I'll go Pollard.
Okay, interesting. Third, all right.
I think just as a big game player. I mean, I didn't see the Premiership Cup on Friday night, but as a big game player, I think you can't go too far wrong with Pollard. Two, I'll go Freddie Burns. No, I'm joking. I love the way he moves. No. No, two, hang on, who am I going at two then?
Well, you've got your Bowden Barretts, you've got Richie Mwonga, you've got...
Richie Mwonga's my number one.
You got Finn Russell. You've not put him in there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I missed Finn. Yeah, sorry. I'll put Finn at four, and I'll bump. I'll put Finn at four and bump everyone up.
Why did you just put Finn at two?
Finn at two. Finn at two. No, because here's the thing, right? Where I go as well is it's like someone like Pollard probably doesn't get. You know, he's not like his box office is Finn Russell. But I think if you were playing a World Cup final tomorrow. I think you'd pick Pollard over Russell, see, or I would.
Yeah, I just can see that. Like, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's why I try and think. And then number one's just Mwonga. I just think like he is carving up over here. But again, similar to McKenzie, I just love the way he moves, mate. He's so aesthetically pleasing to watch play. No, but you know, you get those players where they just, you know, they just move. Like take Cheslin Colby. Like the way he moves and steps is just so nice to watch. They're like. So I'd say Richard Mwonga for me.
No Bowden Barrett. Is he a 15?
Yeah, he's been injured over here as well.
I'd have Bowden Barrett. I love Richard Mwonga as well. So I'd struggle to choose between them. But I see Bowden Barrett as a 10. I know he's been playing 15, but he's a 10 in my eyes, Bodie. Bodie, you're a 10.
No, he is good. No, like it's our question. I love the way I didn't realise I was just getting lined up for the whole of the rugby world to hate me today. Just calling people out that are not legends. Like, you're not a legend, mate.
Fred, there's going to be people queuing up. There's going to be lads queuing up at vending machines, mate, because of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, they can try and find me in Japan, mate. Try and find me in rural Japan. You won't get me.
Right, Fred, we're going to have a look at what else is happening in rugby. Shall I hit you with some stuff? I'm sure you've seen the stuff that I'm about to share.
Hit me with it.
Croatia had a massive win over Lithuania, 37 points to 22 in a classic. You watch it?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I missed it.
Me neither.
No, I missed it.
Me neither.
Go on the Croats.
Go on the Croatia in Zagreb. Also, is that it? Is it Zagreb or Zagreb or Zagreb?
Mate, it reminds me just on my when my because my older brother Sam's actually I think he's a 22-time capped Cypriot international, mate. Just reminds me of him when he used to go and play against them in Afghanistan or someone. He used to play also in Iran. Like, big game this week, who are you playing? Oh, Syria. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
enjoy it.
They do play the weird and wonderful places.
Yeah. How good. Love it.
Yeah, awesome. Big shout out to Croatia beating Lithuania. Also, and this is, I would say, huge news. So, You know how much I love my Chinese women's sevens rugby. You know how much I love that, Fred.
Yeah, you always go on about it, to be fair.
Yeah, I am a big fan. And they're flying in the Challenger Series, which is basically like the tier two of the sevens circuit. And they're flying at the minute. And if they win it, it gives them access to the repêchage. Is that how you say it? Repêchage, which gets them into the Olympics. And you know what that means? If a Chinese team gets into the Olympics... Money.
Cash money. No, I think, is it not a
repêchage? It might be repêchage.
I think it's French, Jim. I might be wrong. I don't want to be that guy, but repêchage.
That's fine. Repêchage, repertoire. They're in that anyway, the Chinese women. So,
yeah,
you know,
come
on, Chinese, the women. Get the money out from the government there. Get them into the Olympics, and rugby is saved forever. So, that's what's been happening in rugby. Right, Freddie Burns, before we sign off, I've got a few shout-outs. So a big thanks to everyone who gave us some shout-outs to read out. Much appreciated. And I got about 65. I'm going to read a couple of them. You'll like this one. This one coming from Anne McMeekin, Carrier. I don't know if that's your real name, Anne Carrier. It could well be. But she sent in the boys of Gravesend Rugby Club under-12s. Hopefully they're not listening. The Comets for coming back from 3-0 down. Sounds like an absolute classic to draw 4-4 in minging conditions on Mother's Day, and to all the mums who did the laundry afterwards. So, Anne Carrier, big shout out to the Gravesend Rugby Club as well. Rob Simpson, hi Big Jim. Can I get a shout out to all the kids in the under-10s? I hope they're not listening. Team at Boston RFC from Coach Rob, Tom and Matt. They're all absolutely smashing it at the moment. I'll give one last shout out from Dave Hawkins. He's asked me to give a shout out to Matt Gallagher Foundation, who's an ex-Coventry rugby player diagnosed with MND. They're running a charity at Shillian's RFC in Solihull on the 6th of April to raise funds. So Dave, big shout out to you and everyone involved in the Matt Gallagher Foundation. Thanks, Fred.
Well, Scotty, some of this, Jim. Thanks.
Whatever that means, it sounds like you're saying thanks as well, but you just said thanks as well. Jimmy, how many swear words and mates were there? Hold your hands up so I can see producer Jimmy. Grand total of, hang on, 10, 20, 23. 23, how much is that? How much is that? How much is 23? Hang on, let's ask Siri. What is 23 times 5? 150, that's all right. I'm asking with 115. £115. So £115 is going into the pot to the Scottish Veterans Residents, who provide support housing for former members of the UK Armed Forces. So, Freddie, mate.
Yeah, do you take yen?
Well, I'll get some yen off you when you come up.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah. That I can put into the pot. Thanks, Fred. And thanks to producer Jimmy. And thanks to all the listeners as well. If you've made it this far, then you're loving it. So please leave a review. Tell a friend, have a fantastic week, and big love to anyone and everyone. It's the great Freddie Burns.
Cheers. Cheers, Jim.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.